Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome in Tuesday edition of Fesco in the Morning, along with Bob Fesco. I'm Josh Klingler, Ryan Witkowski back at our studios today. It is the kickoff day for the Royals' five-year reunion. Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8:30, we're going to bring you a conversation with a former Royals player, or maybe he's a current member of the Royals, like today's guest is. Danny Duffy will join us today at 8:30 to revisit how 2015 went down, and also share you some stories you frankly won't believe about everything he missed during the 2015 run.
Well, it's better to say what he saw during the 2015 run, because I think he probably missed just about every major moment that occurred.
Much shorter interview.
Yeah. During the 2015 season. That is true. If we were to go and say, Danny, what did you see during the 2015 run? The interview would have been about 30 seconds long, but what you didn't see during the 2015 run, yeah, that gets you about 20 minutes of an interview with Danny Duffy coming up at 8:30 this morning. And I'm really looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to kind of look back and hear from a lot of these guys. We recorded a lot of these interviews ahead of time, so just so you know about that, we're not talking about the lockout or the work stoppage or whatever phrase we're using right now in Major League Baseball. We're not discussing any of that.
We're calling it the 82, and we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, we'll get to the 82 in a moment, but we're not going to talk about any of that. So don't be prepared to go, what's he saying about the season or anything like that? Because quite frankly, at this point in time, we don't care about that because it's all bickering back and forth between the owners and the players.
When we talked to Danny, he was like, I've heard so many plans. Just let me know when the real one happens.
That's right. Just let me know when to be there.
It's like, I'm working out. I'm getting ready. I don't know what, but I can't follow it all because it's like different news every day. And he was already in the mode when we talked to him about, just call me when we have the actual number.
Right, and this was weeks ago, yeah. Too. This wasn't like it's been over the last 2 weeks. We started these conversations probably at the end of April, beginning of May, where we started to talk to a lot of these guys. And at that point in time, they didn't really know what was up, what was down, what was going on when it came, you know, to the start of the Major League Baseball season. They just knew that eventually they would be playing baseball at some point in time when they were going to be playing Major League Baseball, something they did not know. And so we don't have any answers for anybody when it comes to when Major League Baseball is going to get started or when it's not going to get started. There's no inside information on that from any of these interviews. In fact, I was talking with somebody yesterday about setting up another one of these interviews, and they're like, yeah, they don't really want to do it because, you know, they don't want to talk about what's going on in baseball right now.
I said, we don't either.
We don't either.
honest
to God, I said, we have no interest in talking about what's going on in Major League Baseball right now, not until Major League Baseball can get their own act together and figure it out what's going on in Major League Baseball. We just want to relive those glory days, and so we're going to bring that for you coming up over the next couple of weeks here on 610 Sports Radio. As Josh said, every Tuesday and Thursday at 8:30, you'll hear from somebody associated with that 2015 Royals team telling stories that, quite frankly, you have not heard before.
Meanwhile, sports trying to kind of figure out where it lies in the landscape as well of kind of the social commentary, right?
Yeah.
We've had continued protests around the country with various levels of interaction good and bad with authorities right now. Sports certainly is trying to kind of make its mark on what is happening right now. We saw the NBA move quickly to convene kind of a task for, well, we could say quickly, probably not quickly, very reactionary to the what's been happening right now, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We can all say if we were working quickly, we'd have been working much longer ago, okay? Under that caveat, the NBA kind of convened a bunch of coaches and a liaison with players as well to try to figure out how they should be kind of helping players, maybe players' causes is the best idea. I mean, it's got Pop and Kerr on it, which right. is always a good start, right? Because they seem to be ones that are very, very willing to listen. Mm-hmm. Coaches that are very willing to listen and seemingly players-type coaches. So we saw the NBA kind of take the lead in this kind of stuff once again.
Well, and it's not just about listening, too, with Pop and Steve Kerr. They're willing to take action. They're willing to be vocal. They're willing to say what's on their mind, and they're willing to lead. And that's what we need right now when it comes to, you know, sports and this situation that's going on in America right now with the murder of George Floyd. I mean, we need to have people who are willing to lead, who are willing to take a stand, who are willing to be like Martin Luther King, who are willing to be like Malcolm X, who are willing to go out there and put their own lives on the line, their own reputations on the line, to go out there and fight for the greater good and for the greater cause. And I think it helps that you have Greg Popovich and you have a guy like Steve Kerr who are willing to go out there and do that. You have two guys that are very comfortable with who they are. They don't really care about losing anything. They've accomplished a lot. They're putting everything out there on the line, and I appreciate, you know, those guys for doing that. I think it matters, and I think it really, really, really shows the NBA and shows the players that they've got leaders as coaches right now. There's a lot of sports out there right now. There's a lot of leaders out there right now, but Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr really come to the forefront as two of the biggest leaders when we have a crisis situation in America that we can tie back into sports. They're willing to take that stand, and they're willing to lead, and they're trying to lead, you know, the NBA players, and that's all they can do. I'm not asking them to lead the NFL or Major League Baseball or any other sport for that matter, but they can lead the guys that they coach every day, and they can lead them through this situation and listen to these guys about what we can do to make things better. And we've seen a lot of statements. We've seen a lot of commentary from players and coaches and a lot of commentary from colleges as well and college coaches as well. But the one thing that continues to lack, in my opinion, from all of this is what is the solution? What are we going to do to try to make things better? We know where we are right now. We have a major problem in this country. We have a major problem with race relations in this country. We have a problem with police brutality in this country. We have a problem with people of different races being targeted by officers of the law in this country right now. And those are the things that we need to focus on and how to fix those things. And I think we're starting to see a lot of folks around America wake up and realize that there is a major problem in this country. We've seen a lot of great scenes around the United States over the last 48 hours or so with police officers walking hand in hand, arm in arm in solidarity with a lot of people who are doing the peaceful protests around the United States of America. And that's a start, but it just can't end here. It has to continue on. It has to move forward. And we have to continue to find ways to unite and not divide in this country, because that's what it's all about. The African-American population is crying out for our help, and it is our job as Americans to help out the population that needs our help right now. And the African-American population is saying, we need your help right now, and whatever we can do to help them, that's what we have to do. And that's listen, that's open-minded listening. That's a lot of discussion about ways we can make things better, listening to what people say to make things better. Maybe you don't agree with it. Maybe you haven't even thought about it. Maybe it never crossed your mind. But listening and hearing and understanding what folks are going through right now is the best medicine for everybody. And I appreciate all of these sports teams and leagues coming to the forefront and saying, hey, we are here. We are united. We are together. Let's move the ball forward in the right direction, and let's start finding solutions to the big problems that are out there today in the United States.
I feel like when you say, though, that everyone understands that there's a problem, therein is the problem, though, is that not everyone understands.
Well, I would hope by now, Ryan, that everybody does understand.
Well, we can hope all we want, Bob, but let's just be honest about it, man. Like, I think that there is a vast majority, and I'm just speaking as a white man in this country, I think there's a vast majority of white individuals in this country that aren't willing to understand and empathize the way that they really need to. Because, like, on the surface, when things like this happen and you know, a black man loses his life in this country, a lot of white folks kind of get real adamant about, oh yeah, we got, and then it kind of wanes and fades away, and it just stops being a thing that you care about, because it's not in your face every day. It's not something that you think about on a day in and day out basis. And I think that when we start looking at times like these in our country, it's a real time for us to make forward progress if we would just do two things. Number one, admit that we may be wrong and that we can see things through somebody else's lens. Like, we can actually view the world through someone's eyes other than our own, because things aren't the way just you experience it. It's the way a ton of other people experience it in this country, and I've seen it firsthand. I have friends that have talked to me about it. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that go on that we don't personally experience. You don't understand what it's like to have to leave the house as a black man every day. I don't understand it, but I can listen and I can empathize, and that's the other thing you need to do. Listen.
Oh, are you talking to me personally, or are you talking to everybody out there?
I'm saying,
you're
just
talking to me personally, you better stop right now, because I absolutely 100% empathize every single day.
No, I'm not speaking like directly. I'm just saying, okay, like in general. But I think that's the problem that we have is also some complacency about it. Like, I think that there are times, and I can say this conclusively, that I've been hanging out with just white friends, and they'll say things that are just incredibly racist or just incredibly insensitive or incredibly prejudiced. And I think by and large, a lot of folks will just be complacent about it and not say anything and not go, hey man, that's wrong, or hey man, you should really adjust your viewpoint or anything like that. It's always just complacency and sitting back and letting it happen. And I think that we as white folks in this country have to be the step forward. I know Emmanuel Acha was talking last. He had an awesome video yesterday about how, like, if the problem is the white man, we have to go to the white man for the solution as well. We're the only ones that can fix this. Like, we can't just continue to have people cry out, we're oppressed, we're oppressed, we're oppressed, and not do anything about it and only care when somebody dies. Like, you have to care all the time.
Well, and I don't disagree with that, but that seemingly is the attitude we have with everything in this country. When something happens, we react, we react, we react, and then it just kind of fades away. That's the human nature of things. But in this
circumstance, my question is, everybody has put out a little graphic with a statement.
Right.
Every team, every college, every what?
Right.
Now what?
Some have released videos. Right. Now what's the next step? The Big 12 coaches did one yesterday, and I listened to what they had to say, and I'm like, okay, great. You admitted there's
like
a problem,
everybody
what are we going to do?
Somehow,
right?
Some way from the sports world on social media.
But nobody's offering solutions
so
right
now. So
now
what? I'm saying the NBA might have.
Maybe the NBA has.
I'm not that I'm a huge fan of, like, always convening a task force or a committee.
Right.
Right. But they actually took a step.
Sure.
Everything else is a graphic on Twitter right now. I don't know
right.
what that means.
And I'm with you on that. And that's why when I saw what the Big 12 coaches did yesterday and the statement that they put out yesterday, it was a very nice statement with all the coaches, you know, taking part in this. But I also thought at the end of it was a minute long, and I watched the whole thing and I went, okay, you told us everything I knew already. What's the next step? What are the solutions? And the answer to that question is I don't know what the solution definitely is right now, but I know the solution does start with listening and being open-minded and understanding what it is to walk in somebody else's shoes, to understand that life isn't easy for everybody in this country. Life isn't fair, and that term fair bothers me a lot, because I always tell my kids fair is where you get funnel cake. But life isn't fair for a lot of people in this country right now, and we're all supposed to have the same rights. We're all supposed to be treated fairly. We're all supposed to be treated equally in this country, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, all of that stuff, and it just doesn't happen in this country right now. So I think the number one thing is, and we talked about it yesterday, is listen. Be willing to listen, be willing to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes, be willing to try to experience life from a different perspective, and don't just stay in your silo. I think it's important to get out. I think it's important to understand what's going on in this country, and I think it's important to say to somebody who may be in danger, who may have a different experience than you, it's important to ask them why, how, what can we do to help fix this, and see what they say, and then kind of follow their lead as well, and be a leader in that. Be a leader in your own community. Be a leader in your school if you're a kid. Be a leader at your office if you work in an office building. Be a leader in your college, at your university, on your team, wherever it is. Take it on yourself to be that leader, because a lot of leadership is what's needed most right now.
We are a lot of times confused by math. Even we can figure out this sports math. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
The business part of baseball is dirty. It's dark. And I hope that they take into consideration who pays our salary, what the people do for us, how important the people are, and forget about a little bit, or at least bend your arm a little bit to try to find a middle ground for the negotiation.
Right.
Let's not be selfish about it. Let's think about the fans. Let's think about the families that are home.
Pedro Martinez on NBC Sports Network discussing players and owners needing to find some common ground in baseball. The math is just hilarious in this back and forth that continues between baseball and its players. I called it yesterday the conspiracy math. We were talking with Vern yesterday, Fesco, that if they couldn't work out where they needed to be, just jumble the math a little bit, and it seems like they're going to meet somewhere somehow. So yesterday we were discussing the players' proposal. They offered to play more games.
That's right.
114 games.
114 games to get kind of all their money.
To get everybody a good chunk of money, right?
Players want to get paid. Owners don't want to pay the players. And that's essentially how we're looking at it.
It felt like we may be a little bit late to get to that.
Right.
Because they wanted to get to the end of June. I'm like, okay, maybe in the end of June. So
but if the players say they can be ready by the end of June, they're the ones that have to be ready, right?
Maybe we knock off 14 games and you start July 15th instead of July 4th.
Right.
And boy, that's 100. Boy, that feels like a nice number. Well, then yesterday, ESPN reporting, the league's looking at the possibility of a 50-game schedule.
Right. Major League Baseball owners want to play 50 games because they think that's financially best for them.
Players offer 114.
That's right.
Owners haven't strictly come back with this, but this is their worst-case scenario.
Right.
Will force a 50-game schedule. And that would start sometime in July.
Mm-hmm.
114 minus 32 is?
82.
50 plus 32 is?
82.
Yeah. Coincidence?
No, it's not a coincidence at
all.
We're
going to get back to 82. We're going to get back to what was believed to be the starting point of playing essentially a half season at 82 games.
Right.
That's where you're at. It feels like when you're negotiating with your kid. Your kid's like, "Oh, I do this, can I get $10? Like, I'll give you $5. Like, well, I want $10. All right, I'll give you $3. And they go, "All right, $5's cool."
Right.
This is where it's at.
No, this
we're gonna
is
go
nuts.
this, and this, and we're 82? Okay, 82.
Right, which is where we were a couple of weeks ago.
Which is where it's going to end up,
right? Which is exactly where it's going to end up. And I saw this yesterday, and I had my eyes dilated yesterday, so I really couldn't see much yesterday. And so I was thinking about it as I was, you know, reading the new proposal of the owners coming out with 50 games and then
actually,
Major League
the
Baseball.
May have gotten you better if with the eyes dilated.
It may have figure out where
they were going to,
right.
to end up was maybe much clearer.
It was like that blurry vision where you actually see something clear. I'm like, wait a second here. If you take 114. Wait, what's 50 plus to 82 is 32. What's 114? Oh, my God. They just picked a number that's right in the middle.
Maybe you should have used that time to do magic eye posters.
On 82, maybe it would have helped a little bit better. But so the 82 number is ultimately where they're going to end up. And it reminds me of, you know, an episode of Seinfeld when Kramer and Morty Seinfeld are arguing over the amount of commission that Kramer should get over the beltless trench coat. And
you give
he
me
brings
25%,
the beltless.
I'll take care of everything. You got a deal.
Right, 25% is what they originally settled on. And then Kramer decided, you know what, I think I want more money. I've been thinking about something.
Yeah, so have I.
I don't think the deal is fair.
You don't think it's fair?
No, no, no. I found the place. I set the whole thing up. I'm doing all the legwork.
What? Legwork?
Oh, there's legwork.
If anything, you're getting too much.
Too much?
That's right. They're my coats.
Okay, look, I want 35%.
I'm thinking more like 15.
No way I've taken 15.
Well, you're not getting 35.
All right, let's compromise. 25%.
Okay, it's a deal.
And that's exactly how Major League Baseball is working right now, like Kramer and Morty Seinfeld. Morty Seinfeld is the Major League Baseball owners. Kramer is the Players Association. They agreed on a number of 82, which seemingly was months ago for all of this. They've decided now to fight for the last couple of months, and we're going to come back to the 82 games that we originally decided upon, right where we started from a couple of months ago. And all of this bickering and all of this bad press and all of this negativity that is out there right now could have just been solved by agreeing to the 82 games and paying the players for 82 games, their prorated salary for 82 games, and moving forward. Instead, they're out there trying to nickel and dime each other, and while they're nickel and diming each other in the public, they're losing fans. They're losing the favor of the American public, and they're losing the favor of people that would actually go out there and support them. And this is the problem that I have with Major League Baseball right now. They just don't understand where they are, what the landscape is, and what reality is. And I think a lot of times, and I said it yesterday, and I'll continue to say it again, a lot of Major League Baseball players, not all of them, but a lot of Major League Baseball players don't live in reality. They've never had to live in reality. They've never had to deal with reality. Everything's always been taken care of and done for them, and they can walk around like with their eyes dilated. That's how a lot of Major League Baseball players live their lives. That's how a lot of athletes, that's how a lot of very rich people live their lives, as we know. They walk around with their eyes dilated. Somebody's going to lead me here. Somebody's going to take me here. Somebody's going to do this for me. Oh, if it doesn't happen, then okay, then it doesn't happen. No skin off my back, because I've got really nothing to worry about, because, you know, I'm a big league baseball player. I'm a famous person, and things will eventually take care of themselves. Well, Major League Baseball now is waking up and realizing what reality is all about, and that the American public ain't going to be there if you can't get things figured out. And so this last month of bickering could have very easily been solved by just deciding to play 82 games, paying the players to play 82 games, and let's move on. And if you're an owner and you have to take a loss on your team this year, then so be it. You're eventually going to make up that loss over time. It's not a day-by-day business. And if you invest in a baseball team, or you invest in a company, or you invest in anything, if you're checking your stock portfolio every single day, you're going to drive yourself nuts. Invest in the product, play the product, have the games happen, play 82 games, and move on and worry about this year in 10 years when you turn around and you sell your ball club owners. I mean, there's no other way to put it, really.
Pedro Martinez says players indeed do need to start thinking about fans.
I'm hoping that both sides actually stop thinking about their own goods to start thinking about the fans. I think these are perfect times to have, their baseball teams out there to try to have the people forget a little bit about what's going on. No, it's not only the pandemic, it's everything that's going on. People need something to actually do and find a way to relax. I hope that the Players Association and MLB realize how important it is to bring some sort of relief to the people.
And that's the thing that really makes me wonder, does Major League Baseball know its role in society? Their role in society years ago when baseball started was entertainment, was to entertain, was to take people's minds off of whatever was going on in their daily lives. You were able to come home and watch a baseball game. And I think right now, as we see Major League Baseball owners and players fighting the general public, they forgot what they are. They're an entertainment industry to entertain the people. And if you tick off the people and you don't give the people what they want, they're not going to be there for you in the end. And that's what Major League Baseball is looking at right now. They're looking at the possibility of fans just saying, you know what, I'm out, I'm walking away. And as we've seen over the last 90 days, Josh, how easy is it to check in and out of things in your life right now? It is easy to forget about things. It is easy to move on, and Major League Baseball is making it very easy for the non-diehard fans, the ones that they really need, to move on to something else.
Yeah, it's easier than it's ever been to turn on a dime on anything.
On anything.
We found that out over the last few months,
yep,
right? If you
absolutely.
Didn't know before, time moves very fast, and time moves on without you.
Right.
And I think baseball, with each passing day, it's just funny that we're going to meet probably in the middle.
That's right.
After all the arguing, mm-hmm. we'll see what the last step is and what the timetable is. 50 games seems like, if you're just doing the math of 50 games too, it's like, well, then when are you going to start?
Right.
Are you going to start your postseason early?
Yeah. What are you going to do? How are you going to 50 games? Why bother at 50?
If you're going to play sometime in July and play 50 games, and I've always been the advocate of cutting down games anyway.
Right.
But if you got 50 games and you're starting in July, what does that mean?
So that means you're done by like August 15th. You're going to start your postseason. Maybe you're going to invite 20 teams to the party in the postseason this year and have a bigger, postseason and a bigger playoff to make more money. And I would be fine with that. I wouldn't have an issue with that. But 50 regular season games seems awfully, awfully low for a Major League Baseball schedule that's used to play at 162.
I'm good with that. I'm just wondering how it like fits in the calendar.
Sure.
It's like you're going to be done early.
Right. And maybe so. And maybe you don't have to compete with the football program product
unless
this year.
Unless that's what you're targeting.
You know what? Let's just play a shortened season. Let's get our playoffs done by September 1st when football takes over. We're out of the way, and then we can focus on next season and really get going again next year. But Major League Baseball's got to put something out there for its fans this year, or they risk losing everything that they have.
913-576-7610. That is the new text number. Same as the phone number. So program one number into your phone, 913 563-576-7610. That's how you reach us on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. We will shout it out in just a couple of minutes. And doting over Clyde next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. 913-576-7610. That's the new text number. It's just like our phone number. So program that into your phone. I think the bounce back message is a little, unless they've gotten that fixed overnight. The bounce back message says, we don't hear you.
What?
We hear you.
No, we hear you.
When you're texting in. So
I could say that could be confusing to the listener.
Yeah, so it's a little bit confusing. So I think that they are going, if they haven't already, have got that, we're going to get that remedied. So we do hear you when you text in. 913-576-7610 is the new text line number on the Smitty's Garage Burgers and Beer text line. It's also the phone number as well.
We all done grown up with that now,
program
guys.
That into
that
your
still
phone.
Says we didn't understand your message.
No, yes,
we understand.
We understand it. Just don't get fooled by that. We understand everything that you're sending.
We got a big kid phone now, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's exactly that's right. Cool. No longer we're on the flip phone deal. We're not T9 and things anymore, guys. We're actually like full hand and stuff.
You wish T9 was still a thing, though.
I do. I absolutely do. I was the best T9 texter in the history of the world.
Did you win like a competition T9 or something?
Oh, I did. Yeah, there used to be like you won whittling chip competitions, making Pinewood Derby cars back
true,
in the day.
Actually,
I was competing in T9 texting contest. Nobody could out T9 me, man. I was a master with that.
Do you think do you think our listeners would be interested in doing a Pinewood Derby race?
Oh, that would actually be fun, Ryan. I'm not kidding. That's put that on the list. You said, what about bingo yesterday? Like, why didn't we think of bingo when we were thinking about something else? And now Pinewood Derby? Hell yes. If we can get some great prizes for that, Amy and sales will take care of it. We'll get some really good prizes. Have a Pinewood Derby, an adult Pinewood Derby contest where people are drinking and arguing with the judges, too.
That's good. I like everything that's going on right now.
And it would validate all the cheating you've tried to do with your kid when making those.
That's
so
right,
just
yes.
Open it up. It's the open, competition.
How about, like, just your kid has to build it for you, though? That's...
We could do
flip
that.
It around, you know, because you've spent all these years building one for your kid and pretending
you did, right?
Follow the rules then, so well, why would anybody follow the rules now?
But if your kid can't build that's it by himself fair. Now, how's he going to be able to build it for mom or dad at this point?
We
in time?
Can so, tell no, the I, difference.
I like the adult Pinewood Derby idea, really. I think that could be something fun
let's
if we can
that.
Gather again, you know? Maybe we'll do it outside.
Never again are we going to gather.
You place your car down 6 feet away from me, then I will come pick up your car and then put it on the – and then we'll have to separate the cars by 6 feet.
That's right.
We won't want the cars running next to each – I don't know. We might not be able to get this through legal. But we'll work on it, all right?
I like the idea,
no
though.
No promises.
That's our next big thing, guys, the adult Pinewood Derby. Let's get that on the docket for sometime this summer.
Glad we worked that out on the air. Let's do it.
Hey, sometimes the best things just come naturally.
Let's let that one have some space, Ryan, just for you. We have a segment on the show called Doting on Mahomes, right, where someone just glosses about our quarterback, right?
Right. Yeah, it just kind of started because there were so many good things being said nationally by Patrick Mahomes that didn't necessarily lead to a topic or anything, but, man, you had to hear what they were saying about our guy.
People just couldn't stop. We might have to have another one for the Chiefs' first-round pick, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. James Palmer of NFL Network may get it started.
If you talk to anyone in that building, they just start smiling when they talk about the kid for two main reasons. One, they love the way he operates in small areas, small area quickness. And then the second part is the part that obviously they're seeing now because they can't get on the field. His ability to grasp things, his mental approach, his professionalism, and his maturity. This is a guy, if you talk to his running back coach, Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, Andy Reid, they'll all tell you he's just thirsty for information. He's talking to everybody every day, asking for more. His running back coach at LSU, Kevin Faulk, he talks to him still regularly. He talks to Darren Sproles on a regular basis trying to get information. And that's what makes him somewhat special in the eyes of Eric Bieniemy. Bieniemy says, look at all the talent that we have. Look at Patrick Mahomes, all these other receivers, Travis Kelce. Because he's so observant in the way he picks things up, having that talent around him, they believe might make him even more special than they already think he's going to be. Now, they're going to let this play out. It is, you know, Damian Williams, the guy who maybe could have been the Super Bowl MVP penciled in as a starter. But when they hit the field, They're going to give him a fair shot to get his, certain amount of snaps, Andrew, to get out there and compete with him, and they're going to let this thing play out, and he has a pretty good leg up on most rookies around the league and how he's approaching things.
That's another addition, or maybe the first, of doting on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I should have added the music underneath.
Yeah, we a little bit later on the show when we play that again, you'll have to have the music montage underneath it. But I love the whole, is he a starter? Is he a first-teamer? Is he a second-teamer? How much playing time? How many snaps? All that stuff that he's going to get. I don't view the Andy Reid offense necessarily based on who the starter is or how many snaps they're going to get. I view the Andy Reid offense of who's going to give me the best opportunity at this point in time to take one to the house and to score a touchdown and to be productive out there. And sometimes, there may be plays that are Clyde plays. Sometimes there may be plays that are Damian plays. There may be Darrell plays. There may be Darwin plays. There may be plays for all of these guys out there to get them all involved in this game. And as we've talked about for many years, one running back is not enough. Two running backs is not enough in the NFL. You need a stable of at least three capable running backs that you can rotate in and out throughout the course of the season to keep guys fresh. I envision, having this conversation later on in the year where fans are mad that Clyde Edwards-Helaire isn't getting enough touches. And I envision myself saying, good, that's what we want. We don't want to have him overtouch the football. We don't want to have him have too many carries because we know the wear and tear, the pounding that running backs take on every single play doesn't make for guys to last an entire season, doesn't make for their careers to be very long. That's why we're not seeing running backs for the most part get paid anymore because teams are realizing too much wear and tear. It's not worth the investment. So the less wear and tear that Clyde Edwards-Helaire can have and the more that he and Damian Williams and Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson can all share in the joy of carrying the football and catching the ball out of the backfield and still being productive as an offense, I'm all for that. I don't need 25 carries or 30 touches a game out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think something like that would be way too many for one running back.
Two things. Small space quickness is such a NFL combine description. It's hilarious.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Hilarious to me. And then he's got a leg up on other rookie. How do you know?
How do you know right now?
We're holding meetings right now.
And it's not like you've been able to go out to the practice field and watch and then make things up that you think you saw out there on the practice field. They're literally on Zoom meetings in their house. So there's no way to tell whether or not he has a leg up. He may be the smartest guy in the world.
More productive than others. He's texting Darren Sproles.
Oh, well, in that case.
You hear that, man?
He's got a leg up.
Yeah, he's got a
leg up. He's got his personal cell phone number. Come on.
Right. That's fantastic. I mean, a lot of us could sit in a classroom and absorb the stuff and be really good. Then we get out on the field, get our asses kicked. I'm not saying that's going to be Clyde. But you can't say somebody has a leg up right now because of what's going on in the classroom until you see what they can do out there on the field.
Well, he's clearly ahead of the game. He's ahead of everyone else, and I'll take it. Let's shout it out, 913-576-7610. Brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. They're simply the best.
Check them out at southlandtow.com.
Let's go to the brand spanking new text line, 913-576-7610, the 816. If we've really been to the moon, how come we've never went back?
That's the million-dollar question, and my kids have asked that a lot, too. Dad, how come we've never been back to the moon? And I say, I don't know. I don't know why we haven't been back to the moon.
Maybe we went back.
I don't know that why hasn't we heard about that, though? Like, why wasn't it a big deal? Why wasn't it, a second giant leap for mankind or something like that? Like, so if you're going to the moon, whether you've been there before, that's a pretty big event. I'd like to see more if we've been there more.
It feels pretty American to do that, though, right?
To what, just not
go
tell people
place
we're going
one
to the
time?
Moon?
And, well, that too, but. Like, just go somewhere one time and be like, I saw it.
Yeah, I already did it.
We did it.
We went to Mount Rushmore once. Once.
Once. Wait, how many times are you really going back to Mount Rushmore?
That's what I'm saying. How many?
Family vacation, yeah.
I saw the moon.
But if there was really something to accomplish on the moon, don't you think we'd be going back to the moon? I mean, other than affecting the tide, what else does the moon do?
Well, it's a moon.
It's a beautiful planet.
It's lovely.
It's a moon.
Is there anything more glorious than seeing the excitement on a cashier's face when your total equals an even dollar amount?
No.
I do it too.
I think, yeah. Because sure. And then.
I like, nailed it.
And then is the dad joke, you go, never do that again.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you may have a little bit more parsley that weighs the scale in another direction that adds on another penny, or you may have a little bit less parsley that takes a penny away.
You never miss an
You'll
opportunity.
Never nail that
you never
again.
Miss an opportunity to do a dad joke, do you?
No. God, no.
When the cashier goes to scan something and it doesn't scan, are you the guy that says, I guess it's free?
No, I don't do that. No, because I was a cashier as a kid. I charge you twice for it, make you go to get your refund from the lady at the front end.
816 says, wish I could hang out with Binkley, have a good chew with him. I mean, I could set that up for you, actually.
I mean,
he's not that hard of a get.
No,
right now, he's got a lot of time on his hands. He's just doing virtual Royals games.
Hey, Jay, what do you got going on? You want to go have a chew with one of our listeners today? He'd be right there.
I don't know. I don't chew. Is that something that chewers do, or they just sit around and chew together?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe you're chewing some gum or something like that. There's nothing better than, you know, three buddies sitting around the holidays having a chew.
I mean, I like to smoke a big fat cigar, by the way. You know, never get around with everybody, but I'm
you know, they have cigar bars, right?
Chewed.
But they don't have, like, chew bars where people just go around sitting around and pass a dip and share it with each other.
Big spittoon in the middle.
Yeah, hey, maybe that's an idea. Coming out of quarantine, we could start a chew bar.
Binkley's Chew Bar.
Binkley's yeah. Chew Bar. Come and get your chew on.
Binkley's great idea.
Hi, I'm Jay Binkley for Jay's Chew Bar. Come on down to my house and chew.
He doesn't even chew it, though. It's just like suck.
He just sits it in there in his lip. He just sucks on it. If you're going to chew, you got to get the red man, right? You got to get the red man and just grab the big handful of chaw and shove it into your cheek and chew that stuff.
Like they did in the good old days?
Yeah. Or remember when they used to shave it off, the big block of chew in the cowboy days?
Ride at the fair and barf all over?
That's right. Okay. Absolutely.
I don't think they're gonna call it suck. 913, Dr. Textline. We've been back a few times. The last was Apollo 18 in 2011. There's really point in wasting money to learn what we already know about the moon.
Which is not much, right? I mean, like the moon is kind of like
you,
a waste of time.
I'm pretty sure we went back.
Oh, we got some rocks. Great. It's not made of cheese.
Huh.
There is a rabbit in it.
This is just spiraling out of control at this point. I like this Binkley's Chew
much
Bar
like the
idea.
Moon.
Right. No, the Binkley Chew Bar idea is really good.
Would you
get
go
some
to
Packers
it?
On that?
They have like flapper girls walking around.
Yeah. Chew, Kodiak, Skull, Red Man, Applejack.
But you can't spit now, so.
Hey that
there.
Is true.
Hey
yeah,
there,
you gotta, how do you spit through your mask?
That's true. That old mask on just covered in chew spit.
Just spit in your mask. We'll get you a new one after your chew is complete. We'll replace your mask for you as well.
Man, I got to think if there's a Binkley's Chew Bar, they ain't wearing masks anyway.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Come on down to the Chew Bar.
The Chew Bar's high on chew.
No, that's you can't use
that. Oh, that's already taken.
Yep. Can't use that.
The Chew Bar's full of chaw.
You can't use, you know, get on down to the chew bar. You can't use that either.
Can't use that either?
No. Some of these are already taken.
Darn it.
That's all I'm saying.
Bring it on down to chew bar.
Yep, see, taken.
Just wrap this thing up.
That's all we got today. Chew bar.
What do you mean that's all that's we got true. Today? I think it's pretty good.
We came up with Jay's Chew Bar and a Pioneer Derby. What the hell do you want from me, man?
What else do you want? We have a great event coming up, the Adult Pinewood Derby taking place on August 15th, which you'll hear more about later. And we got Jay's Chew Bar. It's 6:44, Josh.
Yeah, we have been putting in work, Clay.
Good
come
Lord,
on.
Brother, we have accomplished a lot this morning.
We already put a date on this.
Well, you got to get it on the calendar.
We got a sponsor already.
Next, you're going to tell me Marlin Man's coming up at 7.
Actually.
Marlin Man is coming up at 7 o'clock.
Can they coexist? We'll tell you who next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Days from today, we got kickoff at Arrowhead, Josh, between the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to come fast.
There you go.
It's about as long as we've been on quarantine.
They can get it done now in 100 days. I have a good feeling about this.
Oh, they're going to play. I have no issues with that. I'm not worried at all about the Chiefs playing. You haven't heard about COVID in the last couple of weeks and its relation to sports. everybody's now fighting over money. So once the money gets cleared up, we're back to normal, baby.
Like you got the health and safety taken care of.
That's right.
Just be about the money at this
just
point in time.
Just be about the money. So 100 days from today.
Speaking of money, Joel Corey, former NFL agent now with CBS Sports, joined The Drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio. Money and Chris Jones. He doesn't see Jones long-term for Kansas City.
I've always been skeptical about Chris Jones being a long-term Kansas City Chief. How are you going to have the highest-paid quarterback in the league and two $20 million per year pass rushers? I've always thought as soon as they paid Frank Clark that Chris Jones was never getting a long-term deal. To make matters worse for Kansas City, DeForest Buckner, it probably in Chris Jones's mind, set a floor. And that guy signed for $21 million per year, almost $60 million guarantees, close to 40 fully guaranteed at signing. So the average is a little more than Frank Clark. And then Frank Clark was like at 62 in guarantees and like 41 fully guaranteed in signing. So you're going to have to be above at least Frank Clark, at least to me. That's what I'd have been looking for last year. And then you have DeForest Buckner just confirming that's where the market should be for me if I'm representing Chris Jones.
So the floor being DeForest Buckner, and you want to get ahead of Chris, of Frank Clark, which, Ryan, you'd said a long time ago, right, that your worry was, well, he just saw the guy right next to him on the line get this amount of money. Why wouldn't you want to make more than that when yours came due? And now you're seeing others set other bars as well. So it's kind of hard to fathom he wouldn't be in that range.
Yeah, I wouldn't really necessarily be so concerned about that bar being set now. It seems like that bar was set a year or so ago with Frank Clark. So, but I do understand what he's saying, and Chris Jones continues to have season after season where he just raises his value as well. Like, as much as I want to see Chris Jones be here in Kansas City, and as much as if I'm a player right now, I wouldn't want to sign with any team other than the Chiefs because, quite frankly, who else is going to win the Super Bowl?
Like, that's right.
At this point, it's starting to get to that level, though, where you look at it and you say, okay, you can kind of see the writing on the wall. You can kind of see what direction this is going to go in while both sides are saying, oh, we're making progress and we're having conversations. It's more and more leaning towards the, hey, guess what? We're going to franchise you next year and then we're probably going to tag and trade you and you're going to be on your way.
Well, and I think ultimately there's a couple of things from Joel Corey that you can take away. Number one, I don't think anybody's saying there's conversation going on. I've been told there's no conversation going on. They don't really expect anything to pick back up until the players actually get back into the building. And I think that right now, I don't want to call it a lockout because that's not what it is right now. But this COVID pandemic time right now, I think, is helping Chris Jones kind of distance himself from the organization. Had he been there with his teammates right now, it may be a lot more difficult for the Katz brothers, his agency, to kind of negotiate a contract with the Chiefs, because we all know how much Chris Jones loves his teammates and loves being in Kansas City. The time not being with these guys may be the separation that Chris Jones needs to realize that he can go somewhere else and get paid those big-time dollars. So it may not be a situation where he still wants to be in Kansas City as much as he did on February 3rd or February 4th after they had won the Super Bowl. You take time away and literal time away from everybody. I mean, it's been 90 days now or whatever it is that we've all been kind of, quarantined on that. That could change your perspective on everything. I think everybody's life's perspectives have changed over the last 90 days or so that we've all been kind of on lockdown here in the United States. And I think ultimately that could be a factor for Chris Jones as well, where he went from, yes, 100% I want to be a Chief again, to, okay, I'll take a step back. I mean, you go look at his Twitter bio, not that that's everything. The only thing that's Chiefs is the banner part. It doesn't say he's a member of the Chiefs or anything like that. It just, talks about if you got inquiries, email, his agency and stuff like that. So I think this time away could potentially hurt the Chiefs when it comes to what I think is their biggest strength, and that's Chris Jones's heart and pulling him back in to Kansas City. And when Joel Corey says he doesn't see Kansas City and Chris Jones being together long term, what is long term anymore? That's the ultimate question that you have to answer. If the Chiefs get a 2 or 3 year deal done with Chris Jones, is that considered a long-term contract?
Yes.
I think it is.
Yes.
I think that's a long-term deal. Anything other than the franchise tag right now, to me, is considered a long-term deal. So I don't see the definition of long-term being 5 to 6 years. I don't think that I wouldn't want to sign anybody
that
kind of contract.
What his long-term is not 3 years.
Maybe not. But I think there's other things that
tag and trade.
You know, there's other things you have to look at too. Number one, the cap is probably going to be a little bit lower next year because of, you know, there could be less fans in the stadium and less revenues, you know, for the National Football League. And why does every contract that gets signed have to be higher than the last contract that came before it at that position? Like, when did that start to become the trend in the National Football League? Like, Patrick Mahomes can't sign until Deshaun Watson and Dak Prescott and Lamar Jackson get signed because he has to make more money than those guys. That seems to be the thing right now in the NFL. And the other thing now in the NFL, and this has been true for many years, if you want to get the most money possible, odds are you are going to have to go someplace else. Frank Clark was not going to get that big check from the Seattle Seahawks. It just wasn't going to happen there, and he had to go someplace else. He was lucky Kansas City wanted him, and he came here to Kansas City and found himself a better career and a better franchise and a better organization and a Super Bowl championship. That may be what Chris Jones has to do. If he truly wants to cash the biggest check out there, Josh, it just may not be here in Kansas City, and he may have to go elsewhere, and those are the things that he has to weigh along with his agency. Is it worth it to take a couple of million dollars more per year to go to another team, or would you be content making a very nice living here in Kansas City and having a chance to win the Super Bowl year in and year out? There's a lot on the table right now that both sides have to work through.
But if he doesn't foresee him long-term, then you're talking about now.
Talking about what now?
Gone now.
Like not even bringing him back for this season.
Right?
Well, I don't know.
You don't see a lot of players play under the tag anymore.
God forbid.
So what does that mean?
Well,
like if you're trying to make a move during this offseason, could indeed be a possibility.
Well, I think it's hard right now to make any kind of moves during this offseason in the NFL because it's been such an unprecedented offseason. I mean, how many moves have you truly seen? Once free agency came and went, you know, those first kind of 2 weeks in March when all this was going on and free agency, you know, hit the ground running and we had all the moves that took place then, you didn't see anything since then. You didn't really see many draft day trades. You didn't see guys moving all over the place. I think ultimately, in my opinion, we're kind of just too late in the process for that to happen.
To try to make
right
a
now.
Move.
All the offseason stuff is over. I mean, you know, if you were going to trade Chris Jones or trade for Chris Jones, you'd have wanted him back in March to get him in, to get on your Zoom sessions, to get on your WebExes, to learn what you're going to do over there. So I don't know if there would be necessarily a trade partner at this point in time that's willing to give you what you want in return for Chris Jones. So I think right now Chris Jones is going to be back in Kansas City this year. And if he isn't back in Kansas City this year, then it's because he's holding out. I just think at this point in time, at this stage of the game, there really is. And if you're the Chiefs right now, you've kind of planned your whole roster and your whole defense around having Chris Jones there. Why would you ultimately want to trade him right now? So I think the ball's in Chris Jones' court. You sign the franchise tag, you come into camp, and you get ready to go for the season, and maybe you work out a long-term deal, maybe you don't. But at this point in time, I don't think anybody's getting moved.
And you mentioned that holdout. That's obviously an opportunity.
Well, that's an opportunity.
Or something at his disposal should he choose to use it.
Yeah.
Right? Big 12 coaches, basketball coaches, I should say, taping a video yesterday calling for change.
Over the last several days,
we have listened to others' pain, anger, and disgust
over the events surrounding George Floyd's death.
Our families, as well as this Big 12 family,
share these emotions as well.
As coaches, our job is to take a group of young men and inspire them to achieve a common goal.
To impact people's lives for the better and to make a difference.
That's our true mission. As coaches, mentors, and leaders.
It's time for all of us to unite together.
Bring awareness and light to all the racial injustices that we are witnessing in our country.
It's time for us to use our platform to make a difference.
And to be part of the conversation to help create solutions.
We all need to be better.
We all need to do better.
We all need to be there for each other.
We all need to take a stand.
The current racial climate is unacceptable.
It's time for a change.
It's time for change.
It's time for a change.
It's time for a change.
Now, I won't have you name all the Big 12 basketball coaches, Bob, because I know you couldn't do it. But
I think I can get most of them.
All of them taking part in a video put up by the Big 12 yesterday.
Lon Kruger, Bill Self, Shaka Smart, Bob Huggins, Steve Prohm, Chris Beard, Scott Drew, Bruce Weber. What two schools am I forgetting right now? Oklahoma State is Mike Boynton.
Correct.
And Lon Kruger. Or no, I already said Lon Kruger.
Shaka.
Should I have Shaka as the 10th one in there? I got most of them. I think I did a pretty good job
That's
on
pretty
that.
Good.
Not bad. But like I listened to that, and I appreciate the video and all, but like – no solution was offered up. We heard we have to be better, we have to do better, we have to take a stand, time for a change. Okay, what does all that really mean? What are we going to do to implement a change, to make things better, to do better, to take a stand? You know, time for a change. We all understand that. It's, to me, past the point of saying that we need to do things differently. It's time for action. And I see Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Baltimore Ravens, has just pledged $1 million towards social justice reform. Giving money, giving resources, giving funding to help social justice reform is something that a lot of people can do in the sports world because they have the means to do so. And that helps things. That helps with education. That helps with, you know, with educating the youth, with educating young kids to not be racist. I mean, it helps with, you know, maybe some sort of, you know, police reform or something like that. Or maybe you can get into the communities and create programs where police officers in the community can bond and both sides can get a good feel for each other, that, you know, the community understands that not all police officers are bad and police officers can understand that there's good in everybody in every community. And maybe you can form kind of social gatherings, barbecues, cookouts, you know, adult Pinewood derbies, as we joked about earlier, things like that, that create opportunities for the sides to come together in a social side of things to let everybody know, to keep their guard down, that it's going to be okay, that we all can get along in this. I mean, I
definitely wasn't joking
statements
about that Pinewood Derby race.
I'm not either, but I appreciate like what everybody's talking about, and I appreciate everybody offering their opinions, and this has to change. But now it's time to offer up solutions, and that's where we are now. We're past the it's time to change. It's been time to change since 1960.
Now I will say college coaches probably have already been on the front line of this, or sports, right? Sports is the great melting pot. The biggest unification, and I'm not just talking about from a fan perspective, from a player perspective, mm-hmm. right? Players coming into college from different backgrounds and different surroundings have been going on forever. So the coaches have actually probably been doing a lot of this stuff, or should have been, all along.
Right, absolutely. And I think sports is a great melting pot. I think when you look at sports, that's why sports is so important in all of this, because guys from all walks of life, all places around the country get together and play a sport. They don't see color. They don't see race. They don't see religion. They go out there and they play a game, and they go out there and play for each other. They root for each other. They do what's best for each other, and fans cheer that on. Like, sports is the ultimate melting pot, and sports has such an opportunity, more so than anybody else, to help further this cause.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com sports station. Time now for Today in Royals History.
This is Kurt Nelson, director of the Royals Hall of Fame. Let's take a look back at Today in Royals History.
No outs to go. The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Colon. And the Royals win it.
They might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes, sir.
Brett is out. Look at this. He is out and having to be forcibly restrained.
Major League Baseball's 2020 June draft is just over a week away, set to begin next Wednesday, June 10th. And today, June 2nd, is a significant draft date in Royals history. On June 2nd, 1986, the Royals had the 24th overall selection in the first round and took shortstop Tony Bridges Clements out of Don Antonio Lugo High School in Chino, California. Ooh. You probably don't remember him, although he did reach AAA Omaha. But the Royals did hit on 8 players that eventually made the big leagues. Outfielder Harvey Pulliam in the 3rd round, ooh, pitchers Greg Hibbard and Dennis Moeller in the 17th and 18th round, along with utility player David Howard in the 32nd round. They also drafted but did not sign pitcher Tim Urbani and infielder Torrey Lovullo, the current manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks. But the highlights unquestionably came in round 6 and 4. In the 6th round, the Royals selected pitcher Tom Gordon out of Avon Park High School in Florida. Flash would later be Baseball America's 1988 Minor League Player of the Year and finished 2nd in the 1989 American League Rookie of the Year voting. And of course, perhaps the most memorable draft pick in franchise history came in the 4th round, when the Royals shocked the sports world by selecting college football's reigning Heisman Trophy winner and the first overall pick in the NFL draft in one Vincent Edward Bo Jackson. The tales of Bo Jackson are one of the most exciting chapters in Kansas City sports history, and they all began on this date, June 2nd, in 1986.
I feel like Kurt buried the lead there for
I thought he did for a little bit. Get you hanging on there, naming people you never heard of before.
There were a bunch of names. I'm like,
I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah, the David Howard. I'm like, okay
all right. I met him. So
now we're getting warmer.
There's got to be something here.
Okay.
Flash Gordon. Bo Jackson.
Okay, Bo Jackson. So,
which the legends of Bo are a lot bigger than what he actually did on the field.
Yeah, well, injuries will do that.
I know. That
sucks. Injuries will do that. So on this date, Bo Jackson was drafted by the Royals. So there you go. That's today in Royals history. Kurt Nelson from the Royals Hall of Fame always trying to stump us a little bit too, right? There's always a part of that as well. Lawrence Levy's joining us now on the phones. You may know him as Marlins man, but for how long as Marlins man? That is the question. Is that correct, Fesco?
Well, I think that's the question for everybody right now. You know, are we going back to sports? If we do, is it going to be the same? Lawrence, how are you doing this morning? And what the heck have you been doing without sports and you know, without being on my television every
waiting
night?
To see him in a KBO
yeah.
background near me.
My first question to you guys is, who announced me just? Who just announced me? Who said
that?
My
was
name?
Josh.
Josh, my name is Levy, like Chevy.
I apologize. I apologize.
And you guys know that. You've gotten it right for about 6 years. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But, you know, this is a time. I don't know. I know you guys go to bed early because I know you have your show early. But I haven't really been asleep yet because I've been watching the rioting and the looting all night. And I don't know what our world has become. And I kind of predicted this because I lived through, as a kid, the riots in 1968. And the same thing's happening. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse until we bring out the military and it starts raining and they start using the fire trucks to hose down the looters. I, last night, was getting, from across the country, 200 or 300 videos sent to me that I'm not going to put up because it would incite things. But, I mean, I watched them loot Macy's and Louis Vuitton and Versace. I saw a video in the daytime yesterday where, and these aren't black people. I saw white people looting Beverly Hills and putting their purses and their shoes into a Mercedes SUV and drive away. And that's what our world has become. Now, let's go back to sports for a second. I'm still stunned about what I saw. Because I knew when they went to bed in the East Coast, they would start up on the West Coast. Yeah, Big Apple has fallen. New York's fallen. Macy's wiped out. Tiffany's, Bloomingdale's, Midtown, Times Square. They've looted the city. And what happened back in the 60s is the police made a decision to not protect property, to only protect people. And that's what you're seeing, because they're not stopping the looting. But going back to sports for a second, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. You know, I spoke to Bob a few days ago, and all we hear from the owners on teams is, well, how can we make this work? How can we get the players back? How can we get basketball? How can we get football? You know, and, oh, we're going to only go with 20% fans. Has anybody ever looked at the other perspective, which is, do the fans want to go? Do I really want to go, let's say, to the Crown Club at Kauffman and have the chance of either another guest or maybe one of the employees has their kid or their friend who was sick, who they don't know, they got exposed 5 days ago, they're not symptomatic, and they go and they sit in a 20,000-seat arena? Do I want to go to a Miami Heat game and bet on the fact I think 20,000 people there are not sick? It's scary. Now, as Bob also knows, I plan to be in Kansas City a lot more this year. I had been in New York a lot in the last 2 years, whereas I was in Kansas City a lot in 2015 and 16 and 17. Kind of mostly 18 and 19, I was in New York. I missed. We all missed. Royals opening day against Seattle. I was supposed to be there. We missed the Houston Astros series. I couldn't wait to bang garbage cans in Kansas City, okay, in May. I missed the Dodgers series I was going to be there for. What else? Oh, Indians. In June, I never see this. You were playing the Indians 2 series at home in the same month. I can't think of the last time I saw an away team come into a city twice in the same month. Yet you were doing that with the Indians. Now, I'm supposed to be in Kansas City for the Red Sox series in July. I doubt that's happening. I was supposed to be there for the Yankee series in August. And in September, when I do help with the Jim Mesh Scholarship Fundraising for the family of the fireman who passed away in Kansas City. We do that skeet shooting tournament over there in, I think it's Lenexa. That is the same weekend as the White Sox in September. I don't know if fans are going to want to even go. You know, the other thing is, I'm a very contact person. When people say hi to me, I talk to them. I shake hands. I high five. We put arms around each other. We take selfies. I don't know if Marlins fans are going to want to be doing that in 2020. Think about the world back how it started. So that's what our world's become.
So are you talking about getting rid of Marlins Man altogether, or are you done going to sporting events altogether?
You know, I never thought about it from that perspective. Aren't they intertwined? Isn't that what I'm about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm honestly thinking about retiring Marlins Man and seeing what the future holds.
Would you go to a game today? Would you go to a game today?
My family and my coworkers.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, everybody's going to approach this differently. Everybody's going to decide to do what they want to do on their own. Everybody is going to ultimately make their own decision. And if it works for you to not go to games, if it works for somebody else to go to games, however they want to do it, I can't fault anybody for either way. So if there's a game today, we're 100 days away from the Chiefs opener here in Kansas City, okay? 100 days from today, they will play the Houston Texans in the first NFL game of the year. Will you be there for that?
Yes.
So you will be going.
That's the Thursday night game.
Right.
Wait, that's the Thursday night. Listen, that's the Thursday night game before I go in town for the skeet shooting tournament. So I have it blocked out to go to Kansas City for the Chiefs game, the Royals game, and the fundraiser for the Jim Mesh Scholarship Fund.
So you want to be there, but will you be there? Will you be Marlins Man at that Chiefs game? That could be the first game that fans are truly back when it comes to the NFL, obviously, is the biggest event on stage. Will you be there as Marlins Man for that game?
My answer to you is tell me how the coronavirus will be doing on that day.
Yeah, that's something I don't know the answer to.
Is it going to be gone, like some people say? Or is it going to be a third wave or a fourth wave twice as bad? I mean, what happened to social distancing during this rioting crap? What happened to that? What were you people thinking at that Ozark Lake Memorial Day weekend from Kansas City and St. Louis?
They were thinking they wanted to get out and move on with life, I guess, my man.
Yeah, okay, so then you have a barbecue with your family members and you try and be safe. To be with 20,000 strangers in the same water? I don't know about that.
He's Marlins Man for now. Lawrence Levy will be back in Kansas. You'll be back in Kansas City either way. Whether or not you're attending games remains to be seen. Thanks for the time this morning.
All right, good morning, Bob. Hope you guys do well. Stay safe and smart.
Today we debut the Royals' five-year reunion coming up at 8:30. A little preview with Danny Duffy next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.